Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Judge David Johnson, joined by Judge Eric Aspersleger.
This is the Friday Filibuster now, is it?
Nah, it's not the imposter. Yeah, it's the real Friday Filibuster, like the real Ghostbusters, you know? And we're the real deal. And speaking of real deal, Mac McIntyre, which I believe was his nickname on his high school boxing team, yes?
Something like that.
All right. So three of us are going to send you into this weekend. I will say we typically are not known for show prep on this podcast, but I think we've got some ambush topics that I think you'll enjoy. See, it's arguably the most popular element of our show here. We put some thought into these, and I think you'll get a kick out of it. But enough of that. That's what we call a tease in the biz, right, Eric?
That is. Let me check my English to showbiz dictionary.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Thank
tease.
You.
That's a tease.
We'll roll along as we normally do right now and try to contain our excitement. But Eric, why don't you kick us off with what you've been occupying your time with recently?
Well, I've been watching a bunch of movies recently, Netflix and so on. I think I talked about some of those last week. I guess the movie I'll talk about this week is one that I actually picked up on Blu-ray. Had not seen it, been dying to see it for a long time. It was reasonably priced on Amazon. So I picked up Fantastic Mr. Fox,
Wes Anderson.
Yeah, most recent Wes Anderson movie. Yeah. And I'm a huge Wes Anderson fan. And I just had not gotten around to seeing this yet. And I've sort of been kind of watching a bunch of his stuff, prepping. This is also a tease, but I'm going to be on an upcoming episode of F This Movie with Patrick, and we're going to be talking about one of his movies. So I'm kind of going back and rewatching stuff, and I wanted to kind of, you know, complete my training, as it were.
Yes.
So I checked it out, and it is good. It was not at all what I expected it was going to be, and I think it's sort of true with Anderson's movies in general that for the first time you watch it, it kind of you kind of leave scratching your head because you're not quite sure what that weren't quite sure what it was, but just it was not what I expected it to be. So you go back in kind of knowing what to expect, and it's a kind of a more enjoyable experience. So I've actually watched it a couple times because I wanted to kind of get my head around it. It's certainly one of the more unique animated movies I've seen in a long time.
Is it stop motion or is it puppets or something?
It's stop motion. But I think they built They built the creatures and gave them real fur and stuff, and then just, you know, animated them. I haven't watched any of the bonus features, so I don't know specifically how they did it. But yeah, it is stop motion. But it's an Anderson film. I mean, the dialogue is a Wes Anderson dialogue, and the characters, it has the same kind of themes of fathers and sons and expectations and all that kind of stuff, and a great soundtrack with Beach Boys music, and I assume Mark Mothersbaugh did the soundtrack there as well. And
does Bill Murray have a voicing role?
Yep, he's a badger. Jason Schwartzman is Mr. Fox's son. George Clooney plays Mr. Fox. He's new to the Anderson folds, I believe. It's a really quirky is not the right word, even though it's probably where it gets used to describe his stuff a lot. But it's a really unique, kind of clever movie that sort of defies classification, and I think requires multiple viewings to kind of really, you know, get a lot out of it. There's a lot of thematic stuff going on.
So it doesn't sound like it's a kids movie.
It's not really. I mean, there's probably stuff that a kids would like, but it's not. I mean, you've got, you know, Mr. Fox, and he has his son, like I said, plays by Jason Schwartzman, who, you know, is kind of trying to impress him, and who kind of sulks around and doesn't like that his cousin is coming to stay with him while his father is sick. And, you have these farmers who are trying to just wipe them all out and all this kind of stuff. So it's a Wes Anderson movie. It just happens to, be animated. Although they get around all the swearing by everyone just using the word cuss. So it's like cuss you will. Are you cussing with me?
And all that kind of stuff.
So they get around it in that way. It's been a long time. I certainly read the book when I was a kid, but I don't remember the story anywhere near well enough to be able to say that they followed some of it at all. I mean, large portions of it are obviously inventions of Anderson and Noah Baumbach, but it's been interesting to go back and watch his other stuff too, because movies that I love, like Rushmore and Royal Tenenbaums and stuff like that. But Life Aquatic was a movie that I did not see for a long time. I finally saw it and was kind of nonplussed.
Yeah, same here.
But I
know you like Darjeeling Unlimited, though, right?
Yeah, I like that. I like that one a lot, and that's one 100%. I've only seen once. I have to go back and rewatch it just to see if it stands up. But I was really surprised going back and watching Life Aquatic again how much I liked it the second time. Like, again, the same kind of thing where it wasn't what I expected it was going to be the first time around. And then when I went back knowing what to expect, there's a lot of really just really clever stuff in the movie, just from a cinematic perspective and thematic and a lot of the stop motion stuff. It's a very different feeling movie. So I think if you go in expecting one thing like I did, the trailers made it seem a certain way. You go in and you know what you're getting. It's a much better movie. So I actually really enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to, even on second rewatch. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know some people don't like his Wes Anderson stuff, and I know he can kind of come across as a bit pretentious and overly filmy. But I think he's sincere, and I like his stuff a lot. So it was fun.
All right, well, it's quite the little thesis you just put forward. Very nice.
Thank you.
Did you have you reviewed any Wes Anderson movies for the site yet?
Yeah, I reviewed Darjeeling Limited, and I reviewed Bottle Rocket on Criterion. Nice. So I've done, you know, I've dipped my toe in the water.
Very good. All right, Mac, how about you?
Let's see. Well, kind of my version of old news. Well, not too old, but old-ish. I have been wasting many, many, many hours recently playing Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yes, we've long lauded that as one of the premier games this generation. What do you think?
Yeah, it's just as of Friday I've started playing it for the first time. And, boy, a real can't-put-it-down kind of game, isn't it?
As a comic fan, do you feel like they really kind of captured the Batman from the comic?
I'd say so. It's a little bit exaggerated, you know. I mean, just look at Batman's physique in this game is kind of
right. I mean, and the Joker looks like he weighs 70 pounds. You know, right. It's like Sarah Jessica Parker.
And Batman is more buff than I think any human could ever be. But no, I'm really enjoying it. It's got that real sort of naturalistic gameplay where you're not really thinking about what your hands are doing. You're just kind of immersed in the game.
It's got the best. It's got the best combat mechanic I think I've ever played. Probably
it does. You know? Well, you know, it's interesting because I read online how people are saying that, you know, if you're timing your attacks just perfectly, you can chain attacks together. And I don't really play that way. I'm just punching guys. So
Well, you're missing out. You're missing the.
Right.
Missing the free flow of it. I mean, Eric, you like that game, right?
Yeah. I will say that, you know, I think by the time I finished the game, I started to feel like I understood how to do the combat effectively.
Uh-huh.
So I, you know, I'm probably in the same boat as Mac in that I wasn't chaining together moves. But the game did such a great job of, even when you're kind of just hammering on the attack button, of, you know, bringing out animations and having Batman do the kinds of moves that you expect Batman to do. It's not like you just keep pressing it and he just keeps, like, punching out into the air. He's like kicking guys and swinging them over their heads and, you know, yes, doing all this kind of stuff. So it definitely makes you feel like you're playing Batman, even if all you're doing is hammering on the B button or whatever.
Yeah, it is an excellent Batman simulator, I will say that. And you know, if you invest some time into just getting kind of the flow down, and there's like arena battles you can do. I mean, I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff in my video games, but it's really, because you could go through like a whole group of guys, you know, without missing a punch or taking a hit, you know. So if you could pull that off, it just looks really, really cool.
Right, and that restores your health too, so I need to learn how to do that.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, then you get like special moves and stuff, so it very much is a Batman simulator. So I'm glad you like it.
Oh yeah, it's really cool, yeah.
It definitely struck me while I was playing it as being very kind of true to the comics. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great that as you go through, Mac, I don't know if you've found a lot of them, but you find the dossiers about the, you know, with information about the various villains, and you pick up the audio logs and all that kind of stuff. And then they tie in a lot of Batman the Animated Series stuff too, because Batman, I think, is voiced by Kevin Conroy, I think that's his name, from the animated series. So it's a game that was obviously made by fans, I think, which shines through.
Right, and Mark Hamill from the animated series is back
The Joker.
I believe it's the same actress as Harley Quinn too. That could be wrong.
So then, Batman Arkham City, when it comes out later this year, is that something you'd pursue, Mac?
Probably. It's made by the same folks who made this one.
Yep.
Yeah, that would sounds pretty cool then. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Anything else?
Hey, that show Bob's Burgers that hasn't been canceled.
It's still on?
It's still on.
Hey, look at that.
It's hanging in there. So I've been watching it. It's pretty funny. It gets a little lowbrow here and there, but mostly it's very kind of funny slice of life comedy.
I mean, it's,
I wonder if the lowbrow jokes are just the network saying, you know, be more like Family Guy, be more like Family Guy. But
I mean, it's made by the whole movies guys, right?
I know it's some of the same actors. I don't know if behind the scenes, like who's the writers or
producers. Was it Lauren Bouchard? Isn't that his name?
Oh, yes, she. Yeah, she was definitely on Home Movies.
Oh, sorry, there you go.
I think it's a she. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. For me, not much. I try not to just say the same standard issue stuff like Parks and Rec, Justified. I don't want to.
Here's my question on that.
On what?
For a while there, everybody kept saying that Community was the really cool show on Thursdays. But now everybody's saying that Parks and Rec is the really cool show. So which one's the cool show and which one isn't?
Well, I don't think one has to be and one can't be cool, but I don't know.
Like if I want to be like in the know, which show am I going to watch?
Because
I was thinking of picking up the first season of Community on DVD.
Well, you reviewed that, Eric, right?
Yes, you should absolutely pick up the first season.
Because everyone keeps saying how funny it is, and I keep thinking I should check it out. But now everybody starts talking about the Parks and Rec. And
They're very different shows. I think there's a tendency to kind of want to compare them, but I don't think you really can. I think they're the best, you know, the best shows on Thursday night, the best shows on NBC, and probably the best comedies that are on right now. I mean, for me, Community still edges out Parks and Rec because I love what they do thematically and with the characters, maybe a little bit more than on Parks, but I mean, it's really kind of six one half dozen the other. But you should definitely pick up Community season one. It's an awesome, awesome season.
I couldn't argue against that. They're both very popular in the Johnson household. Although I tend to be like Community tends to be I do like it's probably number two for me, right behind Parks and Rec for sure. Like it's weird sometimes. Like Community, I mean, all the episodes are good, but sometimes they're just fantastic, and then they get those really esoteric ones that are good and clever, but you know, not as just home runs. So I don't know if that's – I don't know. I don't think you'd call that inconsistent because it's consistently good. But Community is capable of like the best stuff you'll see on TV at a certain point. So
yeah, I think they try for more ambitious things.
Yeah, I'd say that. I agree with that.
I think last week's episode is a pretty good example of that. You know, all the other previews made it look like it was going to be a Pulp Fiction parody, but it ended up being a My Dinner with Andre episode. More than, I mean, it's like they do that kind of stuff,
right?
Where they use this pop culture references not just to make jokes, but to kind of illuminate things about the characters and to move the story forward. And there's a lot of just really kind of well written dialogue that you know just gives the characters emotional depth. I mean, Parks is a little bit more of a standard just joke, you know,
sort
of punchline joke show, and Community is a little bit more esoteric, but. I mean, they're both.
They're no 30 Rock. Thankfully, that's what we're getting at.
Yes.
Or 2.5 Men or whatever. So, you know, I'm going to take this little conversation and attribute to myself, and we'll move on to what we've been working on this week. Eric, what have you been reviewing?
I don't know. I guess we're not speaking of anything. This is old news, and I can't tie it to anything we've been talking about. Okay, this week I'm reviewing. I thought I could. I don't know where I was going with that, but I think part of my brain. The reptilian part of my brain thought I could make it work. Boy, this is a big setup for not a whole lot. I'm reviewing Scream 2 on Blu-ray.
Oh, this
week, so. Really? Okay.
Yeah. You know, a movie that I remember watching a while back. We talked about it last week, and I remembered liking it. So, which is one of the reasons why I asked for it because I wanted to see if my recollections were correct. And it's pretty good. I mean, it's decent. You know. Like the first Scream, it's not as good as the first Scream, certainly.
Right? Which is the only one I have random memories of. I saw both of them so long ago.
Yeah. I mean, the first Scream, I know well enough that if I had watched it again, I would have said, okay, this is what's going to happen, and yeah, these are the killers and all that kind of stuff. But with Scream 2, because I only see it once, I didn't even know who the you know the killer was. So
you know, if I saw that one actually,
Actually, I. I'm almost 100% sure I saw it with you. So
really?
Yeah. It was a while ago.
Man, I have more recollections of Monster High than Scream 2 of movies that we've seen together. So
as well you should. But yeah, but Scream 2, I mean, you know, same kind of thing as the first movie in that they talk a lot about the tropes of other horror movies. And, you know, characters will bring up the rules of sequels and that sequels are not usually as good as the original. And that
does sound familiar now, yes.
Which I think is, on the one hand, clever. On the other hand, it's a little bit of a built-in excuse. If the movie's not that good, they can just say, well, we told you sequels aren't always as good as the original. Like they're kind of building in, you know, lowered expectations. They could say, well, what did you expect? It was a sequel.
Right.
But I think to the movie's credit, even though I'd seen it before, not remembering anything about it, it had me guessing as to who was behind it pretty much the whole way through. A little disappointed by the ending, but I mean, I can't complain about that too much. It's a horror movie. They're gonna reveal someone as being the killer, and either you like it or you're not.
Now, do you guys think Scream, when it came out, did it really launch kind of that whole horror movie genre where it's like a bunch of attractive 20-somethings arranged on the cover of a DVD, you know, and something, right? I Know What You Did Last Summer, the urban legend, all that stuff,
right.
Which just, seems like it's just recently gone out of style. I remember a couple years ago just seeing like a steady diet of those coming to review. You know,
yeah, probably. When did I Know What You Did Last Summer come out? Was it late 90s?
I mean,
it was the year after Scream. So
okay,
it was right around that.
The Scream was like 96, I think, 95, 96 ish.
It was when Jennifer Love Hewitt was in pretty good shape, so about 20, 25 years ago.
Right. I mean, the same. Scream is sort of like when Neve Campbell mattered. So it's the same.
So it's a party of the
Party Five
era.
Yeah exactly.
Right.
I guess it did. I mean, I guess we could also blame it for the whole scary movie phenomenon too.
Oh, yeah, God help us. That's true.
So, but no, it's amazing who was in this movie. I was kind of shocked. I mean, obviously, I had Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, you know, back when they were happily assumed together. But also, Jerry O'Connell is in it. Timothy Oliphant is in it. Young Timothy Oliphant.
Young Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, plays one of the hunky college guys. There's a lot of people in this movie. I was really surprised by who's in it. I mean, I was most surprised to see, you know, college-bound Raylan Givens. But it's not quite as good as I remember it being. But it's a pretty serviceable movie. I never saw the third one, but. I don't remember hearing.
Third one's a little hurting. Yeah,
yeah. I imagine it's kind of diminishing returns, and the fourth one sounds like it might be in some trouble. So I don't know if that's going to be worth seeing either.
Well, the most important thing is you managed. Even though I went on my way to avoid it, you managed to work in a justified reference to this podcast. And, you know, that's fine by me, actually. So
it's like the pineapple on Psych, which you will not understand if you don't watch Psych.
All right, Mac. How about you? What do you got?
I got something that's I don't know how much interest there is in this, but there must be some. It's it's Stan Lee's Superhumans.
But it's like Stan Lee from the Marvel?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly, yeah. Except that this is, in fact, a reality show that aired on the History Channel. Stan, sadly, is actually not in the show that much. He's just kind of the marquee name. He does the intro and occasionally makes comments. The host of the show is a guy named Daniel Browning Smith, and he travels around the world looking for people who have various genetic oddities that could in some way make them – that they could be considered superhuman, right? So we've seen stuff like this on TV before. You got, you know, the guy who can jab himself with needles and feel no pain, and a guy who can hammer nails into a board with his forehead, and was it? Are you seeing that viral video of the guy who jumps 30 feet and lands in the little kiddie pool of water? He's in the show. Let's see. Oh, you got the samurai sword guy who can cut a bullet in half as it's been fired at him. You know, those types of guys.
Like clerks at the local supermarket. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I don't want to use any of the mean phrases because they don't use those words on the show. So I don't want to call them freaks or carnies because that would be mean. And this isn't a mean show. This is an upbeat.
Is carny an offensive term?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I guess freak is.
You know. Well, you know, but when I see a guy eating a light bulb, that's kind of the first
thing gotcha.
That comes to mind.
Unless your first name is Art, Carney is a
yes,
the Nazi thing.
Wow, that was old news by Eric Ashersley.
To the moon, Dave Johnson.
And our Carney reference. I love it. Oh, man.
So, yeah. So
how is it? Good?
Eight episodes of people who can do crazy, insane things with their bodies. I don't know. It's okay, I guess. When it's really interesting is they actually take these guys, instead of just showing them in front of the camera, they actually take them and put them in, like, you know, the MRI machines to try to figure out how exactly they can do this. And some of their results are really interesting. Like, the strong man who can, like, bend metal with his bare hands, it's not his muscles, it's his muscle fibers that allow him to do this.
Adamantium?
No, sadly, adamantium wasn't mentioned.
Too bad.
I guess they're saving that for season two.
All right. Does Stanley actually have a prominent role in the show?
He does the intro, like in the opening credits, and then every once in a while he shows up and just says, like, you know, wow, that was really amazing. That guy might actually be superhuman. And then they cut away from him and go back to the main guy. So he's kind of just the figurehead.
Okay, for me here, did I talk about Jabberjaw last week? I can't remember. No, I don't think so.
I think we hit it on it just like briefly.
Briefly, yeah. So Jabberjaw, yet another show that I kind of watched vaguely growing up. And
the old Hanna-Barbera, right?
Yeah, old Hanna-Barbera, and then rewatching it now, just, again, one of those cartoons that just makes zero sense, you know, when you watch it with, like, an adult brain. You know, so, again, it's four teenagers in a rock band in the year 2076 where all life has shifted underwater. And apparently all, like, physics don't apply anymore in 2076. Because, you know, everyone, like, all underwater cities, you know, they're all in glass bubbles, right? Yet they're still and it's, I would say the ratio of insane megalomaniacs to regular people in this world is probably 2-1. Like every episode, a crazy megalomaniac and his henchmen, and they live in some kind of mansion, you know, glass bubble, and lightning strikes the mansion somehow. So, but again, we're talking about a show that stars a, you know, a 7-foot-tall great white shark that walks and talks, you know, without being in water, so who knows. So no shocker they only made like 16 episodes of it.
Now, I remember the teen rock band, and I remember the talking shark.
Yes.
And I remember, like, the mad scientist villains. I don't remember them living in the ocean in bubbles. That part...
Yeah, yeah. Everything's underwater, and all the places are under these big glass bubble domes. Yeah, and they travel little water ships, and there's giant monsters. Let's see, the teenagers are Biffy, Shelly, Bubbles, and Clamhead.
is Clamhead like the Shaggy type?
Yeah, absolutely. He's the half-baked hippie, you know, the requisite half-baked hippie.
Are you sure those aren't really the characters from Glee? Wow.
I mean, unbelievably bad.
What a waste of an awesome title.
I know. Unbelievably bad. And I'm not even going to bother to describe it because I don't know what happened in the plot. So I couldn't even tell you because it was just terrible. So,
well, Dave, I'm sorry you had such a bad week.
Yeah, okay, well,
movies.
That's well, you have to pay for BMX Bandits, you know?
It's true. Well, Dave, I'm just glad that you've had a bad week we can end it on a high note with the ambush topic stuff.
Thank you for bringing back that tease. That's good.
I'm looking forward to it. I tell you.
I mean, we set this up a week in advance, so because we usually like me, I usually come up with my ambush topics while we're recording. So we set this up in a week in advance to be good. I do have to say real quick, one other release I reviewed called Ultimate G's, Zach's Flying Dream. This IMAX movie from 2000, and you know the big IMAX movies, and it's 3D, and it's all about this kid who he flies kind of stunt jets, you know, but. There's only like a small amount of footage of the actual planes flying, which would look cool in 3D. The rest of it is just this awful melodrama of like the stunt pilot has feelings for this female mechanic, but then like some bully guy, rival stunt pilot, like challenges him to like an acrobatic flight competition. So it becomes like an episode of Full House or something. But it is noteworthy because it stars... It features an 11-year-old Michael Cera.
No way.
Wow. So there you go.
I'm guessing he looks exactly the same as
he looks exactly, sounds exactly the same as he does now. Absolutely. Okay. Mac, take us on to our next phase.
Sure thing. We're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. From there, we're going to click on the cover art gallery for April 5th. And just... talk about whatever we see on the list here. And I'll go right ahead, go first and say I am looking forward to Tron Legacy, which, it got really mixed reactions from crowds, I'll admit, but I personally thought it was great. That's just me talking, but I loved it, and I can't wait to watch it again.
So is this when you buy a Blu-ray player?
It's tempting.
I mean, in all honesty, why would you buy it on DVD? You know, isn't that made for a Blu-ray player?
That you're very right, yeah.
Then again, we got to get you into a TV as well, so.
That's right, because I need to get the high-def TV, but that would mean a bigger shelving unit, which would mean redoing my whole living room. And if I'm redoing the whole living room, well, I really could use some new carpet, and it just never ends. So
How about this movie or whatever it is next to Chuggington, Chuggers to the Rescue. I'm not sure what is going on here. I don't know. I do like Chuggington, Chuggers to the Rescue. Hey, look, it's the Cove. All right. I didn't even know it was coming out. Very good.
Somebody needs to Photoshop Jabberjaw into the Cove cover.
Okay, what do we got here? Any big releases?
Let's see. Oh, I guess I should say the original Tron is also getting a Blu-ray release next week. So you can check out those helmets. Yes,
the helmets. I love those helmets.
Probably one of the worst covers, cover art for any DVD or Blu-ray of all time, though.
Where?
Other than the Tron, the original Tron. It's just it's a Blue Man Group guy in a black background.
That's terrible. Yeah, that is terrible.
It's Tobias Funke throwing a frisbee. That's kind of it.
it's a little provocative, but right towards the bottom of there, the wrestling One Last Stand DVD.
It's like, what are they trying to say with that?
Sounds like it should be paired with Boys Gone Wild DVD.
One Last Stand, indeed.
This is actually a pretty good week for uninspiring DVD cover art, because right above it, Gospel and R&B Drumming. You know, again, kind of a boring title, but just like pictures of drums. Like, I mean, give me a guy drumming, right?
Yes, no one's playing the drums. Just the drum set and sticks.
Like, maybe they're going for, these are the drums waiting for you. I don't know.
Maybe. And the sticks aren't even like... tossed casually across, like you just had this huge, like...
That's right.
The drummer's not passed out on the floor because he's been playing drum solo, and they're kind of very carefully placed, perfect parallel on the drum.
It's like a picture from a Craigslist posting. let's see.
Tom and Jerry, I think pandering to the modern audience with the Fast and Fury.
Very good.
Fast and Fury. Yeah. Taxi Driver on Blu-ray. It's this week, apparently.
That's right.
It's a big big release.
Man, how about Rope of Sand? You see that one there? That guy, if that guy survived that punch, that is a shock. Because that is like perpendicular as forearm.
Wow. Your head right off there.
And right to the left there, Rob Glick's amazing cardio combos. Rob Glick looks a little too excited about his amazing cardio combos.
Especially for being a one-armed aerobics instructor.
Well, no, in the background there, he's celebrating.
That's right. Well, maybe the aerobics combos grew back his arm. I don't know.
That is exciting.
Now, is it me? It seems like the themes this week are railroads and polygamy. I see multiple releases about both of those. See, I guess Tron Legacy would be the big release of the week. And there's AI. Huh? AI.
Oh, yeah. Right. Spielberg. I wonder how well that holds up.
I still can't get past the ending, I don't think. Well, all right. Well, that being said, well, speaking of Batman real quick, there's Batman Beyond. Was that a show you ever watched, Mac?
Oh, yeah. That's this particular one is the feature-length special they did, which is Batman Beyond Return of the Joker, which a lot of folks will hold up as one of Bruce Timm's all-time best. So a lot of fan love for that one, and that's on Blu-ray.
All right, well, let's go to individually sleazy-sounding DVD release of the week. Mac, who do you got?
Let's see. How about Lean and Chiseled?
That's very good. Eric?
Well, this one was going to be my my choice until I actually put a cursor over it and realized that it's not what I thought it was. I thought there's a movie called Horrid, but because the letters are all kind of worn away at the bottom, I thought it was Horin.
Like I'm horning around? Like a folks way to say Horin. Gotcha.
So I said I'll go with Barney's Playdate pack.
That's good. all right, I'm going to have to too bad I already mentioned the Chuggers. Chuggers or whatever. But we'll just go with Straight Man. All right. Well, we've been talking it up this whole time, so now it is ready for us to enter our final phase of the Friday Filibuster, and it is our ambush topic segment. And like I've said, we've given ourselves a good amount of time to show prep these. So instead of saddling you, the listener, with half-assed ambush topics, we took some time to come up with some fun ones, and I think you will enjoy them. So let's get started.
Pills? You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them, Zach. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Jesse, come on.